By way of introduction, my name is Father Daniel Ruhr. I am the chaplain at Bishop O'Connell High School, and it's a great joy to be able to be there, but one of the other perks of being a high school chaplain is I don't have a regular Sunday assignment. So I get to kind of bounce around the diocese and visit a bunch of different parishes and help out whenever there's need. And so Father Briggs is one of my classmates from seminary. He went to Mount St. Mary's. I went to St. Charles up in Philadelphia. But it was great when he reached out and said, hey, would you come and celebrate Mass with our community today? So thank you so much for allowing me to be with you all here on this great feast, this solemnity of the Epiphany. In seminary, we had this teacher. He was kind of like the Simon Cowell of homiletics. Just anything that you said or did was never good enough for him. And this teacher, he was one of the best that we had because you had to always try harder. But the one thing that he would always challenge you on was, where was the good news? Where was the good news? And I remember one of my classmates in a practice homily, it was a practice Christmas homily, and he just talked about all the darkness of the world. And then he ended it and sat down. And the priest, who was the professor of homiletics, said, you know, Andrew, there was zero good news in that whole thing. Okay, this is Christmas. It's bursting with good news. You've got to find it. You've got to speak about it. And as I was looking over the readings for today and praying with the idea of the Epiphany, it's just so beautiful because it's just good news incarnate. It's the reiteration of the central gospel message that God has come among us, that he loves us profoundly, that he sees us, and he desires to enter into our very life and our very being. And so if you get nothing else out of this homily, I want you to hear these words. This place is your home. This place is your home. We all have a deep longing to belong somewhere, to be known, to be seen, to be at a place where when we just show up, we feel like our presence lightens up the room in some way, shape, or form. It's one of the deepest longings of our hearts is to have a place that is truly ours, a place where we truly belong. And the church is meant to be that place because the reality is that we are all God's sons and daughters. And yet for some of us, sometimes it doesn't feel like we belong here. We don't feel good enough. We don't feel holy enough. We don't feel like we believe enough. We can question whether or not we are just imposters sitting among the pews. And so all I want to say today, all I want to say is that you do belong, that this is your home, that you are welcomed and wanted and loved. Why am I so confident in this? We have to go back to the beginning of the story. When God created the heavens and the earth, when God created Adam and Eve, he created everything out of love, out of a desire for profound union with all that he created. And so when he put humanity on the earth, all that he desired was to be made one with humanity. We even see God so beautifully walking with Adam in the garden. There's a side-by-sideness to their relationship. And it was so profoundly beautiful and fulfilling and what we are made for. And yet, as we know, after about 48 minutes, Adam and Eve blew it. They turned to the apple, they turned to this original sin, and they isolated themselves from the Lord. And the rest of the Bible, the rest of human history, salvation history, is God's just great reclamation mission where he's trying to win us back to himself. And so what does he do? He starts not with some big cosmic scale mission. He starts with individuals. And so there's this man, Abram, just doing his normal Abram thing, tending to his herds, being the husband that he is called to be. And God breaks into his life, says, Abram, will you do something incredibly difficult for me? Will you pick up and move and go to a foreign land and trust me profoundly? Are you willing to let go of everything that gives you purpose and meaning and place and belonging? And are you willing to trust that I can make you belong in a way that you could never have on your own? Do you trust me to love you properly and perfectly? And Abraham, in beautiful obedience, says, I do. And he and his wife, they pick up and they move and they go and they have hardship after hardship. And you know the story. And yet the covenant promise that God makes to him pays off. And then after him, God raises up patriarch after patriarch. You have Isaac, you have Israel, you have Joseph. You have these great figures of salvation history to whom God reiterates his promise that I will be your God and you will be my people. I will be enough for you. I will bless you and you will belong. And they find that, each and every one of them. It doesn't take away the hardships, the difficulties, but they do realize that they have a place, that God is theirs, that they are profoundly loved. And this story of their chosenness, their desire, is told all throughout sacred scripture, as you all know. And the Israelites become this chosen people, put aside by God and chosen for this special purpose to show to the world that I am a God who is good, a God who chooses, a God who loves, a God who calls to myself, a God who sustains, a God who creates a place of belonging. And it all comes to a beautiful front at the birth of his son. There is Jesus, the Word incarnate, God himself made man and placed on this earth and given this poor and lowly and humble room. And what is the first move that God makes after the birth of Christ? It's to start filling the room with his people. And so he sends the angels out and he sends them to these shepherds that symbolize Israel itself. Right, Israel, this great nation born from the shepherd King David. And he sends his angels out and he gives these lowly shepherds the most magnificent proclamation ever heard on earth. And they're filled with fire and with love. And for anybody who's been to the Holy Land, the Shepherd's Cove, it's miles away from where it was that Jesus was born. But they make haste for a great distance up a hill because they have heard that God wants them in the room. And so they get there, and they bring their sheep, and they bring their praises, and they sing to God his glory, and just delight Mary and Joseph, telling them the story of the proclamation that they have received. God in that moment is saying to all of Israel, you belong here, in this room, as humble and small as it is, as hard as it is to see Jesus in the to see God in Jesus the Christ child, the humility of the incarnation, I still want you here. You belong here. And I can't imagine this room without you in it. And then God does something even more profound. You see, for the entirety of salvation history up to this point, we hear about the special place of the Israelites, how they are God's chosen people, the ones through whom the promise is going to be fulfilled. And indeed it was. But then as St. Paul says to the Ephesians, while it was not made known to people in other generations, it has now been revealed to his apostles and prophets by the Spirit that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What's he saying here? Is that the gospel is meant for everyone. That there is no one for whom the good news is too great or too grand or too lofty for them. There's no one that God doesn't want in the room. And so what does he do in this beautiful, slow way? He puts this star in the sky and he puts hope in the hearts of these magi. And they see it and they are marveled by it, baffled by it, but they're moved by it most importantly. And God, knowing how these men operated, he used their own desires, their own desire for wisdom, for knowledge, for goodness. And he used this star to pull them towards him. And they too end up in the room. Here they are, people who are not, in a sense, heirs of the promise. They haven't had all the scriptures laid out for them. They haven't had prophet after prophet, patriarch after patriarch, paving the way for them, at least not ostensibly, not obviously. And yet they are no less co-heirs and co-partners to the promise of Christ. And they too get there to that room and they bring all that they have and they lay down all these gifts to the feet of the Christ child and they do him homage. They belong no less than anyone else. My brothers and sisters, this is the beauty, the good news of the Epiphany. That each and every one of us belongs fully and equally. If Pope Leo were to walk into this church right now, it is not more properly his than yours. Because by our baptism, We have all become adopted sons and daughters of the Trinity itself, of God Most High. We are adopted sons in the Son. We are made one with Jesus Christ, and that is renewed in every sacrament that we receive, most especially in the Eucharist. We belong so perfectly in this place that even our own physical homes are only called homes analogously. This is our home because this is our Lord's place. This is where our Father resides, where his Son is in the tabernacle, and we are where we are called to be. So my brothers and sisters, for some of us, it's really easy to come here and feel like it's home, to feel like we belong. For others of us, it's a little bit harder. We might have had bad experiences in the past. We might have felt in the past like we're not enough, or that we don't really know how to pray, or that maybe the church is reserved for the lofty and the holy, and we're just not quite there yet. The beauty of the Epiphany is that this place is all of ours, that this is where we come just like the shepherds did, just like the Magi did, to be before the Christ child in equality as co-heirs and co-partners to the promise. And so as you come forward today to receive communion, I just want you to know how much God delights in giving himself to you. This moment of being able to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, it is the fulfillment of the entirety of the scriptures. It has been all leading towards this, his perfect union with you, because he loves you, because you are enough for him, because you are co-heirs and co-partners. This is the good news, that this is your home.